Jazeera did, of other stories that have happened. There's terrible flooding right now in Australia's northeastern city of Brisbane.
Got the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, then met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the Queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy. Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mom. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Did you know this junkyard slave isn't even old enough to shave? But he can use the Force, they say.
You're listening to Anon Radio.
The queen, though he's just 9 and she's 14, yeah, he's probably gonna marry her someday. Well, I know he built C-3PO, and I've heard how fast his pod can go. And we were broke, it's true. So we made a wager or two. Ooh, he was a prepubescent flying ace, and the minute Jedi. Now we finally got to Coruscant, the Jedi Council we knew would want to see how good the boy could be. So we took him there and we told the tale how his midichlorians were off the scale and he might fulfill that prophecy.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes. Oh, golly gee. It is August 22nd, 2022. And you're listening to news to me. It is, late. It is 1910. I went to lunch late, and so food was still being consumed at 1900, and I totally spaced. And then I rushed out here to hang out on the roof, and it started raining. That's right. We were dry this weekend, but got rain again today. It is gently raining, though, so it's not too bad. Just gentle straight down rain, not going sideways. It was very funny though, because I was walking up here and I was like, oh, that looks like a rainstorm headed our way. And then sure enough, wouldn't you know it,
Anon Radio.
Yep, it was. Sorry, I don't have any other sound effects. Anyway, if you're listening to the show and you want to hang out, there is a magical place to go. It is called Calm Commode Chat. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Once you're there, go ahead and type CON at the command prompt. And once you're there, boom, you will Anon, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then you'll be in the Anon Radio room with cool people like Brid, using emojis in com, Tobe, Earth Nuker, and well, a lot of other people. Let's see who else is in here. Fade, Claudio N. That's all that's showing up in the recent chat. I don't know if you can hear the water that is falling, it is making some noise. So, anyway, yes. Hey, Jeff. Hello. I am alive. Alive. But, all right, cool. Well, I'm glad you can hear the water. I hope it helps you find peace with the devastating news we'll talk about. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. As I said, we started a little late, so we'll have to be brisk with some of our headlines. If you are tuning in or listening in the archives and you'd like to see all the stories I was planning on talking about today, you can go to txzero.org, and I'll use this URL twice, so tangoxray0.org/17i, and it's all lowercase, txzero.org/17i. That is a link to the one tab page where all 14 stories, because I'm not going to get to all of them, will be at. And we're going to begin in Russia and in the Ukraine war. The graphic you might want to check out is a map, because I love maps. It's at txzero.org/17h. That's 17h. I don't know. I think that's how people say it outside of the U.S. H. Anyway, let's go through it. Ukrainian officials restrict Independence Day celebration, fearing Russian attacks will escalate on Wednesday's anniversary. A senior Russian official rules out the possibility of a diplomatic solution to the end of the war in Ukraine in the near future. Russia has requested a UN Security Council meeting on Tuesday regarding the nuclear power station in southeastern Ukraine, according to a report by Russia's state-owned RIA Novosti news agency. RIA cited Russia's deputy ambassador to the UN, Dmitry Polyansky, as saying that Moscow had requested UN Security General Antonio Guterres address the proposed meeting. The Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant is Europe's largest, and it's been overrun by Russian troops since March. Hey, Utsuho, welcome, and screw tape. I bought a few of those back in the day when I lived in Houston. Claudia, I am not in the shower, I promise you. I am on the rooftop at the office garage. I'm not supposed to take pictures of the campus, so if I point the other direction, I think I can get... Yeah, here we go. And collect some water without the floor of the parking garage. It's not so much a big deal, I don't think. Anyway, yeah, it's just today, but it does sound like the shower. This is the 540th live show. So anyway, here's what's going on. So the link I gave you is a map to the nuclear power in Ukraine, and the IAEA has warned that damage to the nuclear power plant could lead to a nuclear disaster. The nuclear plant is the largest, and it was captured in March, as I mentioned earlier, and you can see where in the map, you can see where Chernobyl is in the north of Kyiv, and then the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is down there in the south. It also provides about, I think if I remember right, it provides around half the power to Ukraine, and they're going to cut it over to Russia. Gazprom says it has accepted a request by Moldovan gas distribution company Moldova Gas, to postpone a deadline for the payment of an advance until September 1st. In a statement, Gazprom said that Moldova Gas has not fulfilled its contractual obligations for making advance payments for gas in August. So anyway, we'll get through that. Cats are liquid. Yeah, it would be nice if we could work in a cat factory. like, meow. All right, what else is going on? In the UK, dock workers at UK's biggest container port, Plexisto, began an 8-day strike. More than 1,900 workers at Britain's biggest container port are due on Sunday to start 8 days of strike action, which their union and shipping companies warn could seriously affect trade and supply chains. It's almost like the people in the supply chain have some bargaining power now, and we better start listening to them if we want our stuff. The staff at Felixstowe on the east coast of England are taking industrial action in a dispute over pay, becoming the latest workers to strike in Britain, as unions demand higher wages for members facing a cost of living crisis. Strike action will cause huge disruption and will generate massive shockwaves throughout UK's supply chain. But this dispute is entirely of the company's own making, said Bobby Morton, the Unite Union's National Officer for Docks. The company has had every opportunity to make our members a fair offer, but has chosen not to do so. On Friday, Felixstowe's operator, Hutchinson Port, said it believed its offer of a 7% pay rise and a lump sum of £500 was fair. It said the Port Workers Union, which represents about 500 staff and supervisory, engineering, and clerical roles, had accepted the deal. Unite, which represents mainly dock workers, said the proposal is significantly below the current inflation rate and followed a below-inflation increase last year. The port regrets the impact this action will have on UK supply chains, a Hutchinson Port spokesperson said. Port said it would have a contingency plan in place and was working to minimize disruption. It will last until August 29th. Of course, that means scabs and, that means scabs and people who are crossing picket lines. Always, just remember that. Don't ever cross a picket line because those are your comrades in arms. And it may be inconvenient not to go to the movie theater or to, have to pay, $5 or $10 more to ship a package across the planet. But you gotta stand in solidarity with all our union workers. You know, it's important. All right, well, what else is going on? There's lots of stuff going on. In Argentina, farmers hoard soybeans in a standoff with the government. Soybeans, you say? Yep, typically. What Walter Malfatto reaps, he sells. For the 59-year-old farmer who toils 700 hectares, or 1,730 acres, of farmland in the province of Buenos Aires that consists mostly of soybeans, along with wheat and barley. But this year, Malfatto estimates he has stored 60 to 70% of his harvest in silo bags, a method he says is intended to insulate him from an ongoing economic crisis that's eroded the Argentine peso. You're going to have to devalue the currency soon, Malfatto told Al Jazeera. The agricultural sector won't be able to sustain it otherwise. As a grain shortage fueled by the war in Ukraine wreaks havoc in some parts of the world, Argentina's a breadbasket nation and is caught in its own standoff. President Alberto Fernandez has accused the agricultural sector of hoarding $20 billion worth of products as it speculates with a volatile economy and a currency devaluation he says is not coming. They're not going to twist my arm, the president said in a public address last month. So, kind of a tug of war there. Hey, new 1020. Hope you enjoy Dope Wars. There's a lot of high scoring people there, including Pizza Pal. I was kind of mad because I remember I used to play Dope Wars on the cluster and nobody hardly played, and I had like some high scores. And then some other people found Dope Wars, and I got knocked off of the charts really fast. I was all excited. I was like, oh, I made $1 million. And it's like, no, nay. Here, let me show you. Let me earn $20 million or $100 million. So anyway, enjoy Dope Wars if you haven't played it yet or haven't heard of it before. It is the first game or one of the first games that I played a lot I think I had a 386 that I was running FreeBSD on. Was it a 386? It might have been a 486. But anyway, I had FreeBSD 4 or 3.5, something like that. I bought it I had to go to a bookstore. You see, a place where they sell books in the next town over. Well, it's actually an hour away. And it was a place called Hastings. It's a place that doesn't exist anymore. And then in Hastings, I had to buy this thick book. It was called the FreeBSD Manual, I think is what it was called. And in that had four CD-ROMs. And with that, I was able to I was able to install that onto the, it had to have been a 486 because it had a CD-ROM. Anyway, I was able to install that. It was a good time. Then I was able to play Dope Wars, and that's that. That was my introduction to text-based games, and I had a lot of fun with it. Kenya is still having trouble. Raila Odinga, who lost, is challenging the results of the election in the Supreme Court. We'll see what happens with that. It was a 50.5% to 48.8% vote, so it's very close, very tight. We saw this in the United States when it was Bush v. Gore, and we ended up with George Bush, the famed painter and war criminal George Bush. So anyway, we'll see what happens there in Kenya. I'll let you know when we know more. And some good news. Singapore is going to end colonial-era ban on gay sex. Singapore will decriminalize sex between men, the Prime Minister said on Sunday, effectively making it legal to be homosexual. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said the government would repeal Section 377A of the Penal Code, a colonial-era law that criminalizes sex between men, adding that society was becoming more accepting of gay people. Which is legalizing just having relations, you know, same-sex relationships is kind of below the least you could do. Sorry, it's a little noisy. I'm drinking some yerba mate tea today. My beard has gotten sufficiently long, and so now it's starting to interfere with my eating and drinking. So I might have to cut it down. All right. Lee said the government had no intention of changing the legal definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Even as we repeal 377A, we'll uphold and safeguard the institution of marriage under law. Only marriages between one man and one woman are recognized in Singapore. Singapore chose to retain the colonial-era ban on gay sex after it won independence in 1965. 377A has not been actively enforced in recent years, allowing a vibrant LGBT scene to develop in Singapore, including gay nightclubs. So that's from our friends at France 24. Check in with Calm. X1, welcome. Howdy, X1. Everybody give up on sex and start scientific body exploration. There is a Cronenberg movie that's out called Future Crimes, I believe is what it's called. And in that movie, it's been out for a while, so kind of a spoiler, but essentially they've got people stop feeling pain, and so they start doing what they call surgery on each other. And in that movie, the new sex is, they're not, they call it the old sex. The old way of having sex is like the actual, what we think of as sex. The new way is like meeting up and then like doing surgery on each other. And so like cutting somebody open and then like messing around with their organs and then stitching them back, sealing them back up. Because people don't get sick anymore and people don't feel pain anymore. So it's a weird place. Speaking of weird places, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens in just about 5 minutes at 19:30 UTC every goddamn day. And so, check that out. You buy, you move, you sell. A couple other options, but you can start without that. Yep. all right. What else is going on? Yeah, Claudio, it is... there is a warning. In that Cronenberg movie, there is a, they do perform an autopsy on a young person, like a young boy. So if you are sensitive to that, don't watch that Cronenberg movie. All right, well, what else is going on? Well, there's a lot, as I said. Gas drilling project is going to begin in Zimbabwe. Australia-based oil and gas company Invictus Energy said Friday it would next month begin exploring for gas in northern Zimbabwe. If successful, this could lead to Zimbabwe's first gas production and could ease the country's perennial power woes. exploration was to start some 200 kilometers north of the capital near the border with Mozambique at a field that is estimated to hold 20 trillion cubic feet of gas. It was previously explored by Mobil Oil in the early 1990s. We expect to start drilling early September, said Barry Meckel, Invectus County country manager at the site of the well in Muzarbani. It plans to build a gas-to-power facility to supply the national grid. So, this could be great news. One of the big problems in a lot of the African nations is having reliable electric power. In Ethiopia, they've got that giant hydro dam that they're working on, that they've got damming up the Nile, though, which is causing trouble. So this will be cool if they're able to actually use their natural resources to generate power instead of having them exploited and shipped off by colonial imperialist countries. Of course, that is something to mention too. In China, Shanghai, sites go dark as the drought hits the power supply. The waterfront area, known for its mix of historical and futuristic buildings, is a popular tourist destination, but it will not be lit for two nights to save power. What are they doing? China issued its first national drought alert of the year last week after areas including Shanghai and the Yangtze Delta region and Sichuan in the southeast China experienced weeks of extreme heat. The yellow alert is the third most severe level of the official scale. Oh, we're going to run out of time. But yeah, basically that giant river that they dammed up, the Yangtze River, it's basically gone dry or has dried up enough that it's not generating power reliably anymore. So, oh, see you, Claudio M. Good luck. Enjoy your trip home. Hey, Sinosphere. Hello. So, Tobe is getting drops. But we'll hold out hopes that we'll get some dubiousness out of this. But yeah, we're just running out of time. As I said, I was kind of late. Let's see. Three officers are suspended after video surfaced showing law enforcement officers pinning a guy to the ground and beating him in the head. The man who's getting beaten tries to cover his head and balls up. Of course, this is a common thing. It's really sad, but yeah. So anyway, it doesn't look like the guy died, but they did beat him pretty badly. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be a question mark. Police aren't held accountable in the United States. We already know that. Ford is going to appeal a $1.7 billion verdict against it in a Georgia truck case. The civil suit centers on what was argued to be a defective roof. Came after a couple was killed when a vehicle rolled over. Anyway, we're out of time. The rain is finally letting up. I don't know if you can hear it.